when we are in partnership and have stopped clutching each other's throats, when we have stopped enslaving each other, we will stand together, hands clasped, and be friends. We will be comrades. We will be brothers. And we will begin the march to the grandest civilization the human race has ever known. And that was said by Eugene Debs. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, it's certainly been a very intense week, folks. There's been lots going on this week. We had a big workshop here in Byron Bay on the weekend. We had a Road to Sovereignty workshop that was attended by myself, some of the original elders. Carrie Ann Cox was there, some people from the Kimberley country. Mark McMurtry was there, and we discussed some of the things that are happening in the world and some of the directions that we should be taking. There was also quite an amazing ceremony after the event in which Carrie Ann Cox activated the beginning of the song lines that stretch across the globe, the song lines that start in the east coast of Australia in Byron Bay. And since this songline activation happened, there have been reports coming in to Carrie Ann from elders around the country who have been saying that the ley lines are moving, that the crystal center of Uluru, which is the Earth solar plexus, has been activated, and the shift that all people have been expecting has in fact begun. And we're in for some rocky times ahead, folks. It isn't all going to be roses from this point. Things are going to get very polarized. We're going to see both extremes, as we're seeing in London, unfortunately. The riots in London are very, very disturbing. I can understand people's frustration at having to deal with the corrupt government and the corrupt police force in London and in England, but rioting in the streets is certainly not the way to fix things. Unfortunately, we're seeing gangs of youths smashing shops and burning cars and looting and doing all sorts of things. And this is happening in response to a man who was shot by British police. And this appears to be what has sparked the riots. But of course, one must pause to question why those who are rioting are not simply attacking police stations and government buildings. Why they are wandering through London and smashing shop windows and looting and stealing from people and burning cars and basically attacking themselves. What we're seeing in London is the people attacking each other because they are angry with the government. And this, of course, makes no sense at all and can only ever have the effect of giving more power to the government they claim to be rioting against. And I would suggest that there is a huge clue there for people as to who is really in charge of all these riots and who has in fact instigated the violence to begin with. Because you see, that's what's happening, folks. If you attack shop owners and you smash shop windows and burn cars, the people you are attacking are people just like yourself. They are simply citizens who are in the same position that you are. I mean, maybe they are a little more financially secure because they may own shops. And that would simply indicate that by attacking their shops, you are in fact jealous of the position that they hold. It doesn't mean that you are doing anything right. It doesn't mean that you are attempting to bring about change in your country. It simply means you are a disgruntled idiot who is out smashing things and destroying the lives of other people in order to gain a little bit of self-gratification, and you are being very, very instrumental in bringing about the police state that you seem to be so fearful of ever being subject to. So in fact, you are acting as your own worst enemy, and you are ensuring that you and your children will have a very, very uncomfortable future. Either that, or perhaps those who are instigating the violence are in fact being paid to do so, and the people are simply following along, because that's what sheep will do. And that actually seems like the most likely scenario, because having a riot is not a way to change things, folks. It will not bring about any positive change at all. It will only ever give more power to those who are currently in charge. And there are far better ways, folks, because you don't even need to riot. All you need to do is to stop complying with the system. That's all you need to do. Remember the Illuminati motto, folks. Ordo ab chao. Order out of chaos. And of course, in order to obtain such order, one must first bring about the desired chaos so that order can then be implemented. I've often said that there is only one law of creation, and that is unconditional love and service to the creation. If you wanted to look at that from another perspective and think about, well, okay, that's very good in that respect, but what about restrictions? What sort of restrictions do we put on humankind to ensure that they behave properly? Well, that's simple, folks. There's one rule: you do no harm. And that's it. So if you are out and you are smashing shop windows and you are burning cars and you are looting and you are beating up and stealing from other people, then you are doing harm. You are not serving the creation. You are being all of the things that you claim to be standing against, and you basically should be locked up for your actions. And I can really offer no support to rioters who are simply destroying the infrastructure around them because they are angry with the government, because they are, in fact, simply attacking other people who are also enslaved to the same government the rioters are pretending to be rioting against. It really is very sad to see, folks, when something as simple as non-compliance would be much more easy to do and would be 100 times more effective than what is currently happening in England. Because, as I said, all these rioters are doing is bringing about a police state. I mean, the government wants the populations to riot. That's why the government has spent so long enslaving the populations to debt and creating a situation where people are going to simply go off the deep end because they feel that enough is enough. But they don't have to riot, folks. All they have to do is stop complying with the system, and it works. It absolutely works. And if you get in trouble with the system for not complying with it, then that is also easy to remedy by gaining a very simple and very basic understanding of equity and trust law. And this is another thing that I've been attempting to share with people for many months now. And folks, of course, when you look at what's happening in London, what we are seeing is obviously staged. It is absolutely staged. And the word that I've had from people that live in London that have sent me messages, actually some of my forum moderators come from London, and one in particular has been sending me messages, and he says that the word on the street is that what we are seeing is a renter crowd, and they are the ones that are going out smashing shop windows and causing all of the violence, and then other people are simply joining in. And, of course, folks, they're joining in because this is what they are programmed to do. Through violent movies, through violent video games, and basically being miseducated by the system itself, people are trained to react this way. And then all you have to do is repress the people enough, put them in enough shortage, put them in a state where the youth of the country is just going to reach a stage where they've had enough. And they're going to stand up and become violent, because that's what teenagers do. I mean, it's a very, very volatile time of life, folks, and we've all done it. We've all been out of control at some stage when we were teenagers. Well, most of us have anyway. And so all you have to do is put people in a state where they have absolutely had enough, and then go and shoot some kid on the street and get a gang to go out there and start rioting because of it, And, of course, everybody is going to join in. And the word on the street also is that when these situations are erupting, police are just standing by and doing nothing. Because, of course, folks, they've got to present the whole situation in such a way that it's absolute uncontrollable, chaotic violence, and we don't have enough police. We need more police. We need more surveillance. We need the army on the ground. We need martial law. The citizens are out of control. They're all violent. They're smashing each other's shops and looting and doing all these terrible things. We need martial law. And that is what this is all about. It's classic Hegelian dialectic. Problem, reaction, solution. And all the people who are out there riding on the streets in London at the moment are, in fact, bringing about the police state they are speaking out against. That's all they're doing. That's the only effect it will possibly have. Will be a whole bunch more new and much tighter legislation and a much stronger police presence on the ground. And you don't have to do any of it, folks. All you have to do is get an understanding of trust law and equity and free yourself from the system. You know, if people would just follow the one law of creation, unconditional love and service to the creation, serve the people around you as if they were yourself, and serve yourself as you would serve others. That's it. Do no harm, and what could possibly go wrong from that point? Everybody would be living in harmony with each other if they simply followed those basic rules of creation. It's very simple to do, and it absolutely works. And if you live your life in that way, and you drop all the fear and all the judgment that you hold for others, then your whole life changes. It just happens, folks, and it's really that easy. And I think it's an extremely important time for people to gain these understandings. I really do. I absolutely believe we are in a time of great change. I absolutely believe that the shift in consciousness we've been expecting has already started. That's why all of this knowledge is coming to the foreground now. That's why things like trust law are coming to the foreground. Everything is being exposed. All of the curtains and the facades are coming down. Everything is being brought out into the open. Everything. And this brings with it a huge opportunity for humankind. It really does. Because there is opportunity in all change, folks. There really is. And I absolutely believe that it's going to be all types of change as well, folks. It isn't just going to be good change. There's going to be all types of things happen. And what is most important through this period is that people do not dwell in a state of fear. It's very important that you are energized and are positive and that you leave fear behind you. And I really believe that the remedy to this fear is in having an understanding of what reality is and in having an understanding of how the system works and realizing that you're actually free. You know, I think that if people can simply look at things from a different perspective, just step outside of the box and just take a look at how everything is structured and look around them and connect with the people around them and support the people around them, the whole world could change so incredibly easily. And any transition that we were to go through would be a positive and welcome one and would have a positive and welcome effect. And that's what we need to do. Understanding reality and understanding how the system works and understanding how the legal system works is what will set you free of fear. Because most of the problems that we face, folks, it's all from fear-based mind control. Even the money system itself puts humanity in a state of fear-based mind control. It's a fear of shortage. It keeps people running on the treadmill, running around collecting paper so that they have security in life. They believe that paper is wealth, but I don't believe paper is wealth. I think that wealth is country. Wealth is sunshine. Wealth is the wind on your face. Wealth is friends to talk to. Wealth is having knowledge of your surroundings and being at one with the earth and at one with creation and living in a state of service so that creation serves you back. To me, that is wealth. That is real wealth. A wealth of energy, a wealth of understanding, a wealth of joy and connection to spirit and to people around you. That is wealth. Paper isn't wealth. We go out and we spend all this time collecting paper so we can buy all these things that break down, all these things that we throw away. Buy a new car. 5 years later, we throw it away and we buy a new car. Buy television sets and they all break down. Everything we buy, we collect all this stuff. We lose interest in it. It gets discarded. It breaks down. We throw it away. And yet we perceive ourselves to be wealthy because we've created a lot of rubbish throughout our life. We've created a lot of discarded stuff, or we've built a bigger mansion than the person next door. But have we really been wealthy? Have we had a connection to friends and country and family, a connection to the earth, a connection to the creator, a connection to reality? To me, that is wealth. That is true wealth. Now, earlier I mentioned how Kerri Ann Cox had activated the song lines when she sang last Saturday night in Byron Bay. And something very interesting that happened a couple of days after that was on the other side of the country in Western Australia, in the tribal grounds of the Wumbai people, where Kerri Ann Cox actually comes from, there is a coal seam gas hub being built. It's the biggest gas hub that's ever been built anywhere in the world. And the government has, of course, claimed that there is no environmental damage being done, that they've done environmental impact studies, that there's no endangered species in the area, and that the whales don't use the coastline there, and all sorts of rubbish. And a couple of days after Kerri Ann activated the song lines, suddenly there at James Price Point were a whole pod of whales splashing around off the shore, and the bilby showed its face. And folks, the bilby is a very rare, very treasured and very endangered little animal that lives in Australia, and apparently it lives right there on the land the gas company would like to claim. And so I believe that a complete stop work has been ordered on the gas hub, pending a full investigation and environmental impact study into the endangered bilby. So that is wonderful news. And when Kerri Ann told me the news a couple of days ago, it almost felt like the scene out of Avatar when Neytiri yelled out, "Iwa has heard you." It almost brought a tear to my eye. It really did. I felt so thankful for nature rearing its head and saying, "Hey, what about us?" It was really, truly a wonderful moment, and it certainly has changed things in Western Australia. And so again, we see things being revealed, and we see changes occurring, both positive change and negative change. And that's the way it's going to be, folks. So we can only expect it to get more and more polarized. We're going to see some extremely beautiful events, and we're probably going to see some extremely uncomfortable events as well. But it's all about the energy that you're in through the change. So that's what you need to focus on. But it's a fine line as well. I mean, I've often said you can't just sit there in love and light as many New Agers do. This is a huge problem with the New Age movement. And you can't just sit there and wait for Armageddon like the Christians do. Because Armageddon is already here. Armageddon is already happening. Armageddon is the inner battle between light and dark. And you have to face the shadow within yourself. Stand in your power. Stand in your equity. This is what it's all about. This is why I've been talking so much about equity and trust law, folks. It really is important for people to get their head around it, because when you get a basic understanding of trust law, you discover something wonderful. And what you discover is that you're actually free. Many of us have always felt that we should have been free and suspected that we were actually freer than what we perceived ourselves to be. But when you gain an understanding of equity and trust law, the beautiful thing is that you can prove that you're free. And that's why people need to get their heads around it. And it might seem a little complicated at first, but it needs to be understood. And I think it's a good thing to bring to people, simply because most people are very left-brained. So you can appeal to their left-brained nature with a little bit of simple logic and a basic understanding of equity, and it can just crack that eggshell, because you're appealing to their left brain nature, and you can do it in a very, very logical and very calm way, and you can demonstrate to them that they're actually free. As I mentioned before, it is a system of fear-based mind control, folks, and a lot of that is the system itself. A lot of it is the legal system. But if you realize that the legal system is just a bunch of statutes that don't really apply to you, and that what does apply to you is actually natural law, and that you can follow natural law simply by doing no harm and being of service to the creation, then life becomes a lot easier. And when you understand how to navigate yourself through the fictional legal system that chooses to impose itself upon you, then it's a very empowering feeling to simply stand in your power, to stand in your power and take full responsibility for yourself and your actions, and to know that you haven't done any harm and you haven't done any wrong, and that all you have to do is stand in that power and address things from the correct perspective. And just having this knowledge allows you to be able to deal with life and deal with the system in an entirely different way. And the time is now, folks. The time seriously is now. I'm actually going to be doing a workshop this Monday where I'm going to be speaking about the situation on the globe and how we can face it and what's possibly coming and how we can deal with it. And I'm also going to be talking about trust law and explaining the basic concept of trust law to people so that they can arm themselves with the knowledge that they are free and they can take it out and they can explain it to their friends. And then I'm going to attempt to get some sort of a roadshow happening so that I can take the workshop around the country and hopefully get the knowledge out to as many people as I can. So any help anybody can give me with that would be greatly appreciated. I think it's a very important time, and I think it's very important that now the veil of secrecy has finally come down almost completely, and that the workings of the system, the mechanism of the system, has been laid completely bare, that now's the time to get the knowledge out to people. Because simply having this knowledge will be very instrumental in helping people out of a state of fear-based mind control and of helping them become empowered and feel empowered. And it will encourage them to connect with those around them and to realize how much everybody has been had by this system and how easy it would be to bring about positive change by simply standing in your equity and treating others with compassion. We can fix everything very quickly, folks, and we can even hold the politicians accountable if you like, but I mean, I don't really want to punish them. I just want them to stop controlling everybody else. That's my whole beef with them. I don't really care to punish them. I don't wish to become like they are, for a start. I just like to have them go away and live somewhere else for a while and maybe think about what they've done. But they're just damaged goods too, folks. I mean, obviously they're damaged goods, or they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. But rather than us just complain about what politicians are doing, why don't we do something about it? Because all we actually have to do about it is to stand in our equity, disconnect from the system, realize how it works. And folks, I really do recommend that you look up the trust law workshops that were put online by Dean Clifford. I mentioned Dean last week on the show. I'm actually going to have him on the show next week to talk a little bit about it, because this is how you do it, folks. You've got to understand how this works and then face the shadow within yourself that prevents you from exercising it. Because it's only fear. Courtrooms are even designed energetically to put you in a state of fear. You walk in there and there's all these balustrades everywhere and all this stuff and these guys sitting up in desks and men in suits, and it's all a very, very scary place energetically. You walk into a courtroom, it's never like a good time. It's not somewhere that you go for fun. And it certainly doesn't feel like fun as soon as you walk in there. And that's all done by design. And so you need to understand how this works. And once you do understand how it works, well, you'll probably never have to go to a courtroom again. You can usually deal with it just through paperwork. So I do highly recommend checking out Dean Clifford's workshop, because he really did have a wonderful way of explaining it. And this has been knowledge that has been gathered from all different sources, folks, because we all need to put our heads together to figure out what's going on. And there's so much disinformation out there on the internet. And there's so many people that have tried different avenues, different sovereignty avenues, different constitutional avenues and different, you know, the Freeman movement and all this sort of stuff. But very few people have ever managed to really step back and just look at the bigger picture and look at how it actually works. To stand in a place of freedom and know who and what you are and then figure out why other people are claiming that you're not free. Because once you go through that, you can pretty well rebut the whole lot. You can just go through and you can say, well, actually I am free, and I'm even free by your system, the way you've constructed it. It's just that you've trained me to look at it a different way. And this is what they've done with virtually everybody, folks. And I'm probably making it sound a little bit complicated, but I'm a little bit tired. And so that's the way it goes. But I do intend to have Dean on the show next week to talk to you. And I think it's break time here now, folks. So I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. And I'll talk to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, folks. As I've said many, many times on this show, all of the problems that we face today have a common cause. All of the smaller issues that we face are simply symptoms of this one larger problem. This larger problem is the corruption that exists within the system itself, and this problem is allowed to exist due to people's failure to face the fear within themselves, stand in their power, and connect with those around them so that they have the strength of numbers and the support of the community in what they stand for and what they do. I've attempted to share with you the possibility of what type of positive change could be made to the world if we simply stood in that power and we treated everything from a perspective of compassion. And this also comes back to equity as well, folks. If you are going to stand in equity, then you need to stand in honor. You need to be an honorable person. And if you are going to stand in your power and stand in equity and stand in God's law and follow and serve creation, then you have to be in a state of compassion. You shouldn't hate your enemies. It is very tempting to hate people who have worked to repress and suppress the human race. And I mean, some of the stuff these politicians and leaders have done, folks, it's horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous. And it's quite understandable that people should be outraged at their actions, outraged at the actions of the bankers, of the oil cartels and all of these totally corrupt organizations. But being in a state of anger really serves no purpose. When you get into a state of anger, all we see is what we're seeing in London, what we see in Greece with the riots in Greece. And of course, all of these things are instigated and created on purpose, but people do join in because they are in this frustrated, angry state. They're disgusted and horrified at what this system has done to them, and they wish to attack it, and they'll just attack anything because they need some type of an outlet. And it's understandable that this rages in people, but if people can gain a basic understanding of equity and understand that they are actually free and they don't have to riot, all they have to do is know how to navigate through the system. And folks, you get a few thousand people start doing this in the courtrooms and doing this with the system, and the politicians are suddenly going to go, uh-oh, people have found out that we're actually servants. And they're starting to treat us like servants. And the information will spread like wildfire, and suddenly the whole system falls to its knees. And the politicians and the social structure and the councils get relegated back to their rightful position of managing the infrastructure for us, because that's what we employ them to do. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing, folks? And that's what we have the opportunity of bringing about with this change that's coming. We don't need violent revolution. We don't need any type of violence at all all we need to do is to understand that we are free and to stop complying with this system and to start complying with each other, start helping each other, start serving each other, start treating each other as equals and realizing that everybody else's perspective is just as valid as our perspective. Doesn't matter what you think creation is, folks. Doesn't matter what your view of God is, whether you believe in God or not. It makes no difference. What does make a difference is that you respect those around you and you allow other people to have their perspective of reality and you respect their perspective. Because if you don't respect theirs, then you can't expect anyone to respect yours. In Lakesh, folks, treat others as you would treat yourself. That's really the only commandment that we need, isn't it? That's really the only law of society that we need, and all we have to do is embody that. All we have to do is live our lives in compassion. And compassion isn't sitting idly by and allowing a war to happen. Compassion isn't sitting idly by and allowing the government to destroy the water table either. And make no mistake, folks, fracking is about destroying the water table even more than it is about coal seam gas mining. Fracking is about Agenda 21. It's about moving people into the cities. And it's also about removing our connection to the planet from us, what there is left of it, removing the memory from the planet. Polluting the water. We've talked before about how water has memory. Water is like the ram drive of creation. So fracking and the pollution of groundwater across the planet is a very, very serious and very sinister activity. And it's taking place right around the globe. And again, this is merely a symptom, folks. But what it's a symptom of, ultimately, is a symptom of the failure of the human race to collectively stand in their power. That's the unfortunate and rather uncomfortable truth, folks. Because every problem that we face on the planet, and every problem that we will face in the future, everything that's happening on Earth, the source of it all is the human race. And the source of this failure of the human race to be honorable custodians of this world that we live upon has been the failure of the human race to face this inner shadow. It's this shadow that causes greed, that causes humanity to lack compassion for those around them, to lack compassion for nature itself, and to virtually abuse reality by our presence in it. We just tend to rape and pillage and plunder. We write little history books and make little crowns for ourselves and little medals, and we tell ourselves that we're precious and that what we did was right. But as a species, we've strayed very far from the path of truth. And it's very much time to rectify that, folks. Now, I believe that we can do this, and I believe that we will do this. In fact, I believe that we're doing it now. I think that's what this period on Earth is all about. That's what this time period is for. That's what this change will be. It will be something very, very positive, though it may at first appear to be something rather uncomfortable. I think ultimately it will be exactly what humanity needs, as long as people are able to maintain their energy through the transitional period. But you've got to stand for something, folks, and why not stand for freedom? Why not stand for justice? Why not stand for what's right? Why not stand and see this fictional system of debt slavery and resource consumption for what it is? Why not see the damage that it's doing to creation and see how poorly we have acted as custodians of this earth that we live on, this earth that we are supposed to keep safe for future generations, because we're destroying it, and we're destroying ourselves in doing so. And it all comes back to doing the inner work, because when we can stand in our power and stand in our equity and put governments back into the position of servitude that they belong, that we employ them to be in, treat them as the public servants that they are, and ensure that they serve humanity properly. When we can do this, we can change things. We can change things very easily. We just have to do it. It's that simple. There are no forms to fill out. There are no wars to wage or battles to be fought. The only battle is the battle within that keeps you in the state of fear that you are in, that prevents you from standing against this system and standing in your equity and taking control of your own life back into your own hands. It's all fear, folks. Fear of the system, fear of the immune system of the system, i.e. the police force, fear of peer group pressure, and mostly it's a fear of not having enough paper, a fear of thinking outside the box, a fear of being judged harshly by those you would call friends. I believe that if people look deep enough within themselves, what they will find is a pathway. And this is what I call the path of the heart. It may also be called the path of Dharma. There is always this pathway that lies within each of us, and we can choose to walk that path, the path of the heart, the path of Dharma, the path that ensures that we are in our correct place in deed, in action, in thought, in intention, and that we are operating in a state of balance, that we are serving creation. Or we can choose to stray from that path. But within all of us, that path does exist. It really is there. All you have to do is look and you'll find it. Sometimes it may be a little overgrown with weeds from lack of use, but the path is always there. When you can find that path and be true to your path and true to yourself and true to those around you and realize that everybody is the same and that everybody's perspective is valid, things suddenly change in your reality. Things suddenly take on a different hue. Things take on a different perspective. You begin to see patterns in your life. You begin to see patterns in the world around you. You begin to understand how creation works and how the field will mirror back to you what you put into the field. The system that we live under has trained us to fear the system. And so we are constantly putting an energy of fear into the field around us, and that is what we're getting back. And by saying that, what I mean is that if you stand against the system and you do it from a state of equity, simply by knowing who and what you are, then the field will mirror something very powerful back to you. In my life, I have absolutely no fear of the system. I have absolutely no fear of police, no fear of government. They may hurt me a little bit, but they will never break me. They will never cause me to back down. And I know that I will never be sent to jail because I know the power that the court doesn't have. I know the power that it thinks it has, but I know that it doesn't actually have that power. Court is simply a gathering place for public servants. That's really all it is. Court and the statute legal system are both put there to intimidate the people, and the people are intimidated by the system because they don't understand who and what they are. And helping people understand who and what they are is something I've been attempting to share with people ever since the inception of this program in 2008. Because It is in understanding who and what we are that the remedy lies. It is in understanding who and what we are that the remedy to everything we see in creation around us lies. All of the corrupt legislation that supports fracking, all of the corrupt legislation that supports all corporations, Monsanto, all of these sorts of things, all of this can be combated by a simple understanding of equity, a simple understanding of trust law, and realizing that everything that we're facing in our legal system is trust law agreements. It's all trust agreements, all of it. And we can emancipate ourselves from this whole fictional system. We truly can. And I don't believe it really matters what country you're in. I believe we can do this in any country that's at least half civilized. Of course, if you're living in a brutal military police state, then you may have a little bit more difficulty. But I would suggest that anyone who is living in such a country is probably not listening to this show anyway and is probably not relevant to this conversation. But I'm actually very much looking forward to exploring this topic with people in the workshop that I'll be conducting on Monday. And this will be an interesting thing, folks, because I've never actually conducted any workshops like this before. I don't really have a template I'm working from. I'm just going to sort of go in and make it all up as I go along and hope that everything comes out in the right order. So it will be a very, very interesting event for me. It's quite different speaking in front of people, I've found. It's all very well to sit here with a microphone speaking to a computer panel and wondering if anyone's actually listening to the show. But it's quite different to stand in a room full of people and actually see people's eyes looking at you and all that sort of thing. It's a little bit unnerving. I mean, I spent a lot of my life on stage in bands playing lead guitar, but that's very different. I'm sort of up there playing an instrument and I have a whole bunch of other people on the stage with me, so it takes a little bit of the pressure away. But when you're actually standing up there in front of people and the only thing you have to depend on is your dexterity with the English language, then it's a very, very different situation. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes, folks. We are going to video it, and so I'll check out the video and I'll see what it looks like in the end. You never know, it may even get posted to YouTube. I'm realizing that it is getting to the stage where I am going to have to take the workshop a little bit more public because it is information that people need to hear. But it may take me a couple of workshops before I work out a workable format. Or who knows, folks, perhaps it will just all flow the way it's supposed to flow right from the word go. We'll just have to see what happens. I was going to put together a slideshow to use at this presentation, but then I figured it would just turn into too long an affair. And if I really start getting into the nitty-gritty basics and the history of how we ended up in the position that we're in, then it would probably end up being one of those all-day things. And so I figure I'll just sit and have a little talk at the start, and then I'll just use a whiteboard to explain how things work to people. And I figure it will probably just be a couple of hours long, because that's really all it should take to give people a basic understanding of what I'm talking about. And for them to be able to grasp that they're actually free. I think it's very important to try to keep it short and sweet and empowering and not give people too much information at one time, because it really is offering a different perspective to people, and it may take a little bit for people to get their heads around it at first. But I think that once people do get their heads around it and they begin to see things as they really are, then it will open up an enormous realm of possibilities for them. But I am intending to put together a quite comprehensive workshop and hopefully take it around the country if I can garner some sort of support to help me do so, because it is going to be quite a costly venture. But again, I think it's a very worthy cause, and I think that it's very needed at this time, and I'm certainly not doing it to make money. Because it's not about the money, it's about getting information to people. And I think it's information that people need to get as quickly as possible. So it should be an interesting few months anyway, folks. And it's certainly going to be interesting to see how the rest of the year pans out with what's going on with the stock market, China putting forth their bid to be the new global currency, all sorts of wonderful things happening. And the energy is most certainly changing. There's also an event that I've heard about called Fire the Grid that is happening on the 11th of the 11th. There is a website, firethegrid.com, I think it's called. I'll make sure it is the featured site on the Crow House next week, so you can go there and check that out. And this is something very similar to the Great Intention, folks. This is a very, very similar intention, and it's taking place at the 11th hour of the 11th day, at the 11th month in 2011, and is a worldwide meditation event, and it will be very interesting to see how it all pans out. And don't forget to continue to participate in the Great Intention, folks. I still participate in it every week, and I really do believe it is having a positive effect. And something else you could probably do to have a positive effect in your life, folks, is to make sure you get some Orgonite. Don't forget that if you need some, you can go to my forums. You can look up a character called Monsoon in my forums, and he will supply you with some very cheap Orgonite. And no, I don't get a commission for saying that, folks. It's just something that I believe is good stuff. And he does do very, very generous packages of Orgonite to people. And I really can't get enough of the stuff. I've said to you before, I love having it around me. Although it has caused me to have an ongoing battle with keeping wildlife out of my house because all the animals seem to like it very much as well. But that's another story. So if you do want to get some Orgonite, folks, make sure you look up Monsoon and get yourself some. It will help you balance your energy. I have no doubt of that at all. It's certainly helped me balance my energies. It's helped me face both polarities and come to a very, very comfortable and very accepting space within myself and within people around me. And it seems to always shield me from outside interference. So I absolutely love this stuff. And it's also actually quite attractive to have this stuff sitting around on your desk. So that's always a bonus as well. I actually intend to take some out to Broome with me when I go there this month or next month, and I'll be giving some to the elders of the original people who live out there. And I also intend to bury some pieces strategically on the Earth energy grid. And something very interesting about the Earth energy grid, and I believe I mentioned it at the start of the show, is that Kerri-Ann Cox said she received phone calls from elders who told her that the ley lines are moving. And this, I think, is very significant, folks, because when you begin to understand how energy works and how it can be manipulated and channeled, and then you look at certain structures and you look at certain sacred geometric aspects that seem to appear in our buildings and our roads, what you begin to understand is that a lot of what the elite have actually done is they have placed structures and obelisks and buildings at certain points on the Earth energy grid. And these things essentially act almost like acupuncture needles. They serve to channel Earth energy around different parts of the planet. And if the ley lines are moving now, then it's going to put a lot of the acupuncture needles of the elite in the wrong spot on the Earth energy grid through this transitional period. And personally, I think that's a very good thing. So that may be why so many people are experiencing a real, tangible, positive change in the energy field around them. I know I am, folks. I seriously can feel a tangible change in the energy of the planet. It really does feel like human consciousness is rising in frequency a great deal. It really does feel like things are shifting and we are coming into an extremely important period. And all I can do is welcome it with open arms. Well, I think that's probably about it for me for the day, folks. It's about that time again, and I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. It has been a pleasure talking to you again. I very much enjoy coming on the air and doing these shows, and it's wonderful to have such a wonderful audience who write me so many wonderful emails. And I do read all of your emails, folks, though I have got quite a backlog at the moment, but I will get to them. I do promise you that I will get to all of the emails. I will try to answer some soon. I'm so busy with the film and the fracking meetings and the meetings with the original people and the workshop, and there's just so much I'm involved in at the moment. I'm stretched extremely thin, and I'm also emceeing the David Icke event on the Gold Coast in September as well. I'd actually like to get a DVD for everybody who attends the event so that I can give everybody a DVD. If I have the new film finished by then I will give them all a copy of the new film. But if I haven't got it finished by then I will try to give them a copy of The Calling and The Awakening. And that will at least be something that I can give the people to get the word out a little bit further. But that is it for me for the day, folks. So I will have to say goodbye now. It's been a pleasure talking to you again. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Take care until then. In La Cache.